Some cinnamon, little cinnamon. Ah, that little anise. Yeah, so my nose and this taste. Because the nose is pulling the air out of the tongue, so I'm being pulled into the bakery. Well, I'll look, but I won't take anything. Okay, but then, okay, well, I'll just take a little bit like that, with a little coffee and this and that. And you can feel it, try it, analyze it, contemplate it. What happens when you actually are tasting things? There's a whole relief of tension in the tongue like that, you know, everything else. And then after that, what happens? Straight line. Now you start taking something, and then what happens? Your stomach starts to become agitated. Examine that. Let's think about it. What happens? Be introspective. You know? It's pushing. Your whole body starts to follow. So, okay. Well, I'll eat to satisfy my hunger, but that's it. Then what happens? Yeah? There's sexual agitation. It's a very mechanical process. The tongue, yeah, that gets satisfied, then it agitates the stomach, that agitates the genitals, and there's a desire for romance. Yeah, we can put it in nice words, but you know, basically, yeah, it's to gratify our sexual agitation. Yeah. So then they notice there's a direct line. You know, once you lose control, it's like tongue, belly, genitals, hell, like that. You know, how many? What's one of the greatest of all the Western classics? Romeo and Juliet. Right? You know, a very super famous story, right? But it's all based upon this whole thing, again, of desire for gratification, you know, like that. And, you know, she's dead, he's dead, her brother's dead, his best friend is dead. So this is the whole story, you know, it's tongue, belly, genitals, hell. One time I was crossing the street going up to the campus, you know, in Berkeley, San Francisco, where our big temple is, and the light was red, so I was waiting to cross. And some lady pulled up, and she was smoking a cigarette. He had an old car, was kind of shaking, smoke coming out of the back. She looked really angry, you know. And then a kind of a professor-type guy pulled up in a Volvo with a little dog sitting in the back seat, you know. Then some guy came up, muscular kind of guy, in a new pickup truck, you say? Like that. Pickup truck. The back part's open for loading things. Yeah. He came up like that. He went right up on the side of the curb. He got out, took out like an axe handle, and went over to smash the windshield on this lady's car. She looked at him, she put her car in reverse and backed right into the side of his pickup truck, new pickup truck, you know, wah! That thing went sideways. And she went off around the corner on the red light, car stopping, and rah! You know. And when she did this, she actually hit the car behind her too with the professor guy, you know. And this guy with the pickup, with the axe handle, he looked at his car, hit the ground with the axe handle, got in his car, took off around the corner after her. So, and you could tell they were lovers. You know, yeah, this is it. You know, it all takes us to hell. You know, because we can't satisfy this lust. In the spiritual world, we're using everything to satisfy Krishna, and we're all happy. You know, when you always go, I can't remember the word, mula yata tayor mula nishchanena, yata tayor mula nishchanena. Yeah, when we put water on the roots, the branches are happy. When we feed the stomach, the body is happy. When we serve God, everybody is happy like that. That's our position. But now we're trying to be God. We're trying to enjoy, and we just can't become happy. The more we try, the more frustrated we become, the more angry we become, until finally we just blow everything up, you know, and we just have to start over. So then I told the professor, he was shaking, his little dog was shaking. I said, I got their license numbers. And he said, oh, well, thank you. So on. Yeah. Yeah. So this is Jiva Vegam, Udar, Damodar. Yeah. Tie up the Udar. Damodar, Vegam, Jiva, Udar. Yeah. Opasta. Opasta. Opasta means the genitals. Every Italian knows eat too much pasta, you feel sexual agitation. Yeah. A little wine, you know. Okay. Dama, Odar. Udar means belly. Damodar means to tie up. Damodar. Yeah. It's okay? Everybody agrees? Not me. I think it's all great. Yeah. Okay, other function of the tongue. What is that? Talking. I was in the Southwest Airlines airplane traveling across the United States, reading the passenger magazine, And it says, the average man produces 2,000 words a day. It said that right there. Then it said, the average woman produces, he says 9,000. It's 14,000, 13,000. 7,000. Okay. Now, the problem was not in measuring how much the average woman talks, but was in finding the average woman. Okay. To joke. Statistics. You know. Okay. Yeah. 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 But everybody's different. According to this analysis, ladies like to talk more. Okay, so what? You know? Frogs also talk. You know, rabbit, rabbit. Ritvik, Ritvik, a rabbit. Yeah. Woof, 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 woof. You know, you see, because there's so much stimulation when you talk about right now. You feel that. You know, it feels good. And there's so many nerves in the mouth for a human being, not for a chimpanzee, of course, not for a tiger, but a human being has so many nerves in the mouth. If you can't wash anything else, wash your mouth, and you'll feel refreshed because it stimulates all the nerves in the body like that. You know? So then talking, saying certain kinds, you see babies, right? They start off, they're experiencing different kinds of, you know, experiences by different phonemes, and they learn the phonemes of their culture. So probably we could, speculate that the phonemes that can compose different languages have a whole influence on how people experience the world, like that, how they use the different apparatus in their body, what it stimulates, more the eyes, more the ears, more the like that, you know, more the this and that, you know. You see different languages, right? Yeah. Karamangalangalam, was it South India, have this old very roly like, was it Kerala? Tamil? It's a very roly language like that. And the script is like that. And the way of doing things is like this, you know. Yeah. Again, if you hear somebody speaking, if you don't know, you know the language, you can distinguish if it's German, French, right? Yeah? There's different feels of the language, texture. So you live that way. Yeah. So the tongue is very important, you know. So if the tongue is engaged in always talking about God, you know, the divine person who's described with beautiful poetry, supreme poetry, and then it'll be controlled, it'll be satisfied, like that, you know. Once the tongue is active, it stimulates the mind, right? The mind uses the brain. The mind is subtle, right? So we start talking about things, and we start thinking about them, right? The thoughts, vacho vegam, manasa, krodha vegam, avirodha priti, yukta virodha krodha. When those thoughts are frustrated, what happens? Anger. Yeah, yukta virodha krodha. I just watch it sometimes. I read this, and I was seeing, wow, it's a fact. I remember I got this book, I was reading it, it was a treasure in our temple. And I was going to go to the bank. I had my deposit all made up for the temple. I was heading out the door, and someone said, "Boo, boo, boo, stop for help for a second. We're trying to unload this truck here. We need some help. Can you help us?" You know. So I became angry. And I was thinking, well, because I have my desire, right? I have my mind is fixed in this whole process. You know. I said, okay, I can give it up. My intelligence. Like, what matter if I'm a couple minutes late to the bank? So I gave it up, and the anger went away. You know. It's a very, very practical, technical thing. We have our thoughts, we have our impressions, we have our desires, our plans, like that, you know? And we get this whole idea worked out of what I'm going to do today and everything else, and then something interferes. Krodha. And that's the most dangerous function of the mind. Probably everybody has this experience, you know? It's because of that, in one moment you can kill somebody. And this next moment, the madness goes away. I'm mad, yeah? And you just realize, I'm not dreaming. I just killed somebody. Yeah? My whole life is different forever. I can't take it back. And you don't have to kill somebody. You can just say something harsh, and it may take somebody 20 years to forgive you, because what you said was so painful for them, like that, you know? So this is very good advice, right? If we can control the tongue from the way it talks about things, then the mind will automatically be controlled. Lord Brahma says to Narada Muni, because I've grabbed a hold of the lotus feet of Krishna with great, great enthusiasm, the forward progress of my mind has never been impeded, and my senses have never been degraded by contact with temporary material you know, things like that. So once the mind is fixed on Krishna, the self is aimed at Krishna, then automatically the mind and senses will be transcendental, like that. So always chant Hare Krishna and take prasad, food offered to Krishna. Yeah. How's it go? Sarvapati? No, that's not that one. Another one. No. It's from the Narda. Yes, it's from the Ado Shada. No. Ado. Ado Shri Krishna. There, we got it. I'll do the first line. Ado Shri Krishna Namadi Nagrayam Nababhagrayam Indri Nababhagrayam Indri. Jivam Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayam Evam Smritiyada. Adashri Krishna Namadi Nababhyagrayam Indri Seva Mukhi Jivado Swayam Evam Smritiyada. Yeah, when the tongue is engaged in the service of Krishna, everything else automatically follows like that. Yeah, chant 16 nice rounds, Prabhupada said. And automatically, your whole day you'll be able to remember Krishna. Yeah, you'll deal with all these problems from Maya. And you'll make steady progress like that. Okay, I didn't become perfect today, but I made some progress. Yeah? How many people made progress today? Yeah? Yeah? No? Yeah. You see. Yeah. How many people made a lot of progress today? My goodness. I made a moderate amount, but still, you know, a struggle. I mean, for sannyasi traveling, it's a struggle to try and adapt to the local diet, you know, whatever it is. People have a different time they eat, different food they eat, and it's always, you know, working it out, the schedule. When you stay one place, you get used to eating the same time, the same thing, the same schedule, pretty much. You know, with traveling, that's one of the challenges for a sannyasi. I don't have to pay any rent, but I have to adopt to one, you know, cafeteria after another, and it's, wow. It's really hard on your body. Like that. You know? So this is the Vaidhi Bhakti in the beginning, you know. And if we do this, then it starts to wake up the soul. And we start to want to taste, you know, the mellows, the beatific states of consciousness and pure adoration of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Allah Akbar, Om Namo Bhagavate. Yeah, it's there. Yeah. We had it was a program in Guayaquil, in Ecuador. It's right on the equator. You probably can figure that out from the name, Ecuador. It's on the equator, and there's a beautiful river that comes down out of somewhere. It's wide, you know, quite wide and slow moving branches and everything else heading to the ocean. So right along the riverfront, they have a really beautiful place they built up, Malecón, with different shops and playground areas for children, and also a very nice amphitheater outside. Very beautiful. So one Christmas time, which of course is summer, the middle of summer there, they had somebody wanted to have a convocatoria, what do you call it, something like that, of different religions, you know, all coming together and singing about God. And so they asked us to go first, the Hare Krishnas, you know, we think three groups every night. So the devotees were very pleased. They went, they had, I think they started off with the Govinda, like that. And they went into kirtan, I think three songs. It's like 20 minutes for each group, you know. And it was very planned, very nice, very beautiful. And everybody was singing along. It was on national television, like that. And then somebody else sang from their tradition, you know. And by the end of the thing, you know, everybody was just so pleased. This is the Yuga Dharma. This is the religion of the age. It's congregational singing of the glories of the Lord. And after that, there were so many people coming from different presses, interviewing different religions. And they were saying, if all these different religions can cooperate and be happy, why can't our politicians do this, you know, like that, you know. So it was a very nice experience, you know, congregational chanting, like that, you know. And this is the, you know, what he's recommending. You know, if you do this, then you, these lower things come under control. It may take some time. Utsahan nishchaya daya. Be determined, but have a little patience. Otherwise, you'll create, you know, impediments for you if you're not patient, a little patient like that. But then you're guaranteed. The result is guaranteed. Utsahan, nishchayad, and daryat, patience. So what does nischayena mean? There's a text number three now. Huh? In determination. Yeah, what's the example we get in the Bhagavad Gita of determination? The sparrow, Gorion. So what happened with the sparrow? What is the story of the sparrow? Yeah. She started. Yeah. So we did I was traveling with one friend, Lokanath Das. He was a puppeteer with his wife. Puppeteers. And they had all kinds of puppet shows, you know. And one of them was a shadow puppet show. You have the lights behind and you project the images like that of this story. And he had always really interesting sound effect things, you know. So it was really pretty, little colors, and the ocean waves were like this, these things that moved like that, you know. And it had a sound effect of the sand moving, it sounded like the ocean. So anyway, then the sparrow was going to take the water out, right, you know. Then all the other birds were coming and laughing, you know, the flamingo came, the other birds like that. They were all laughing at her, you know. But then there's this big gong that goes like, but news finally reached Garuda, the king of the birds, Vishnu's carrier, like that over there on the wall. Yeah. So he's a celestial fellow, you know. So anyway, so he had this gong like this, you know, bong, and this big foot comes down. Yeah. That's all you see, this gigantic foot. And he said, I'm going to take it up like that, you know. So Prabhupada says in the purport, God helps those who help themselves. Yeah. Yeah. So you utsahan nishchayat, be determined, be enthusiastic, a little patience, but be determined. You know. How determined? You know, one time, two times, three times, four times, six times. some ways just unlimited determination. We tried to do a project in South America. It was just one thing, one failure. We went back the next day, failure, back the next day. And finally, I was realizing all that it took to be successful was unlimited determination, like that. There's this famous story about Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln, I mentioned him before. But if you remain silent, people will think you're a fool, he said. But he said, speak and remove all doubt, like that. Yeah, yeah. It's a very wise person. Anyway, he was talking about his life. He was like a lawyer in some country, little country town, you know. So he decided to try and become a member of the city council. So he lost the competition. Okay. Then he decided to try and become a member of the county, you know, district, you know, council. He lost, you know. Then he tried to become, I think it was like senator or something, you know. He lost, you know. Then he tried to become president of the United States. And he won. So you say, you haven't failed until you stop trying. Like that. You haven't failed until you stop trying. Like that. Yeah. So this is it, you know. Text number three. Apply these things with these particular moods, determination, enthusiasm. We should always be enthusiastic. You can tell when somebody has an enthusiastic kirtan. Everybody knows what the word means. I was reading Bhakti. Actually, this is something I realized like in the last few weeks. Is, you know, enthusiasm means enthusiasm. It's kind of like enthusiastic. Yeah. You should always be enthusiastic in our service. Chanting, whatever it is, taking a cold shower in the morning. Yeah. 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 Getting brother ass out of the bed in the morning like that. Wake up, brother ass. Yeah. And then it becomes, our progress becomes guaranteed. We make steady progress. Yeah. And then he talks in about, you know, association, everything else like that, you know. And then maybe tomorrow night we can talk about then, a little time now. I guess we can go on. Okay. Well, I don't think so. Okay. About Hare Krishna. Okay. So any questions or anything? I can talk on for 7 days and seven nights. Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Ah. Actually, there, you ever hear of a guy named Fritz Lang? You ever heard of him? Come on, you're a movie maker. Fritz. Yeah, I know. I say, yeah, he was more. He was the Frau in the Luna or something, Woman in the Moon. He was one of the first real like movie directors, really famous guy. He said, "Don't let them tell you that old age is a good thing." He said, "With every year, you're becoming more and more frustrated, more and more frustrated. Everything you wanted to do, you know, is coming farther and farther away from your abilities like that." When you take a ray, like a straw or something, a ray, and you rotate it, you get a cone, right? You get a cone like that. So if you mark off two sections on that cone by two rays, that's called a frustum. A frustum. My God. Okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare. No, I guess we're married. Something, I don't know. Friends. Kimo sabe, like that. How? Blood brother. Yeah. So that's what happened. Frustration means that you try to go one direction and things are going the other direction, you know? So then your course of your life is just taking you every year as you get older. And this is what the challenge, you know? You just more and more. Psychologists, Nitya Sundar, our director from Tennessee, he's a geriatric psychiatrist, old age. And so many things. You know, he said one of the biggest things they do for people in these old age homes, they show a lot of biographies, movies. You have to watch a lot of biographies of people who are like, you know, putting their life together. Because as you get older, you have more and more stuff to reconcile. When you're 5 years old, there's not that much. You know, but as you get older, it has all these years of experiences and different things, you know. So that's the challenge as you get older to take all this stuff. Dalai Lama, he said, you should live a good life. Because when you're old, you'll be able to remember it and enjoy it for a second time. So that's what happens. That's one of the biggest things. Is your senses, everything else are finished. Forget it. It's just, you know, you can, you know, to digest one piece of pizza takes you 3 days. You know, everything else, you know. Your short-term memory is starting to fall apart. Yeah. But your intelligence is starting, can increase if you work on it. You know, that's the thing. You don't tell anybody this. No. Old age is a good, Prabhupada says old age is a good friend for a devotee because it pushes you, right? Again, you tell somebody 18, 25 years old, you're going to die. He says, yes, Prabhu, like that, you know. You tell somebody 85 years old, you're going to die. He says, yes, like that. It's just, he knows, you know. There's one king. He had very, very powerful kingdoms. This is the Navayoganda Maharaj story. So many, you know, wonderful ministers, minister of health, minister of defense, minister of so many things like that. You know? But he wanted to get a minister of folly. So he told his other ministers to find a real fool. And they went around looking in the kingdom, and finally they found a real fool. This guy was really a fool. You know? So the king agreed, yeah. So he made him the minister of stupidity or something, minister of folly, you know. And over the years, when he would do something really stupid, you know, the king would give him a badge like that, you know. Like that. So time went on, and finally the king's getting old, and it's pretty obvious he's going to be leaving his body in a couple days. So he calls everybody, and he's saying goodbye and everything else, and he calls the minister of folly, and the fool comes there, and the king says, oh, my dear friend, you know, I'm going to be leaving for a few days. I have to go on a long trip like that. So the fool says, well, can I come? And the king says, well, no, you can't come. And he said, well, are the queens going to go? The ministers, your cooks? And the king says, no, I have to take this journey myself, alone. And then the fool says, oh, well, but when you get there, who's going to take care of you? What's going to happen? And the king says, I don't really know, like that, you know? So then the fool says, well, how long have you known you had to take this journey? And the king says, well, most of my life. And the fool's thinking about this, and, you know, and he looks at these different badges, and he's putting them on the table next to the king. And the king says, no, you can keep those. And the fool says, well, no. He says, what I'm thinking is that you've had your whole life to prepare for this journey, you know, but still you don't know where you're going to go, what you're going to do, like that, and you've made no preparations. So I'm not the biggest fool in this kingdom. You are. Yeah. So that's what it's for, you know. We know enough. I mean, how many people could you write like a one-line biography for them? Fritz Lang, you could probably write on a few words. I mean, how many people could you do you actually know that you could write down one line? You know, Benito Juarez, Abraham Lincoln. it's like so many, you know. This is so how much do we actually know, you know? If you actually everything you could have a dump, like a computer dump, download everything you know in the book, how many books would it take up like that? How many places do you know? Los Angeles. What is it? Hope, Canada? No, not Hope. That's the one. Ashcroft. Can you tell us about Ashcroft, Canada? Yeah. it's a nowhere place. It's nothing. Nothing. Ashcroft, Canada. So, like, this is how much do we know, you know? This is all a part of material nature. Knowledge is an element, and we have some. My knowledge, you know? Yeah. So the time of death is really this chance to stop learning new things. Yeah, you can learn new things, but it's not going to happen that much. But good. You know, now I'm going to go through all this stuff and start forgetting things. And if you don't feed the different memories, they go away like that, you know? Yeah, they just go away, you know, like that. And so, you want some of them to diminish, and some you want to reinforce, you know? This is something I want to take with me, right? My next life, Hansaduda said, is if I take birth in this world again, there are two things I won't do. I won't go to school, and I won't get married. These two things. Remember that when he takes birth, you know? Here I am again. Okay, but I'm not going to go to school, and I'm not going to get married. Like that. Like that. Be a happy fool. Like that. Yeah. So yeah, you see that. We're born with certain kind of impressions, experiences, perspectives, and that's because we packed our bags, right, in the last lifetime, yeah, to take something with us. You know? So that's the process, hearing, chanting, yoga. So then it's frustrating because we have material attachments like that. We want to accomplish this, you know. Even with the godfather, Don Corleone, the godfather, right? He was thinking he would become a senator by the time the whole thing was finished. You know, we didn't achieve that, you know. Okay. So keep reevaluating our priorities, you know, seeing what we can do, you know, every day, like that. You know, how much time do we have? Yeah. And then we can be happy. Yeah. You know, like that. You know, accomplishing, you know, purposes. Nobody can say this is not my last breath. Is there anybody here who can say this is not my last breath? And then somebody all of a sudden right in the middle of the class has a heart attack, you know, right there, you know, the speaker. At 8:19 p.m., the famous Petit Somme Castle fell to the ground in that unexpected earthquake. Everybody was killed. The whole thing, how much weight is there above us here? we trust it, you know. Yeah, broken. Yeah, how many people here have almost died? Yeah, came close to death. No. Yeah, more than once. Three times within 1 year. One time I noticed that it was just, you know, I almost drowned, like that. I was almost hit by a car, and what was the other one? I forgot what the other one was. Had something else happen. It was just, I was realizing, wow, it was just that close, you know, to suffocating to death in the water and to being hit by this auto thing, you know. Yeah. This is Krishna's mercy. Yeah. How many people here are going to die? Raise your hand. Are you ready? Do you know where you're going to go? Yeah. It's possible. There's a famous beer company in the United States. What is it, Budweiser or something? They have all these advertisements. And the guy shows a guy with a bottle of beer and he says, "Why ask why?" Just pour another glass of beer and you won't have to face these kind of questions, you know? Yeah. Because we're afraid, because it's hard to answer them. Yeah. But yeah, you can. It's actually not difficult. Every day, utsahan nischayad daryat, make a little progress, and then be patient, you know, and then, you know, we'll achieve the goal, immortality, right, in complete knowledge with Krishna. So, another question there? One last question here. Finally, yeah. 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 There was a movie called Wait Until Dark with Alan Arkin. Remember that? Alan Arkin, Wait Until Dark. It was a really popular movie, you know. Was it Audrey Hepburn? So her husband was a photographer, she was a blind girl, and then her husband got this phone call for a big job, you know, shooting, he was a photographer at a wedding, and he had to leave and travel and was going to be gone all day, you know. And then Alan Arkin was this evil drug dealer, you know, maybe 1960s, 65, and there was this kind of a shipment of drugs that had been transported in one bag, and by mistake, in the airplane, her husband had picked the wrong bag up, it looked just like his bag, so he got the bag, so... Alan Arkin had traced it to the house, and he had to get him out of the house so he could get the bag of drugs worth millions of dollars. Yeah. And there were two more guys who were kind of like also into the drug thing, but they weren't so evil, you know, like that, you know. So finally, the whole story goes on, and finally, Audrey Hepburn, this blind girl, convinces them she's not going to give the drugs up and allow them to go out and cause damage to so many people. So finally, they say, "Okay, we'll make money someplace else." The two good guys, and don't worry about this evil guy; we'll take care of him. She shows the scene down the street, and this car hits like this, and okay, you think the evil guy's dead. Okay, you know. Then she's there, oh, and it's becoming nighttime. And then, but he's not dead. He killed them instead, like that. And he comes with this knife and so on. So then she arranges to disconnect all the lights in the house except for one, everything else, until she's sitting there and he comes in. Okay, now you're going to give me these drugs or I'm going to torture you and this way and that way. And he takes a pair of like a nylon pantyhose and is passing it by her. And you know, she's blind, and smell of fire and burning paper, you know, starts tormenting her psychologically, you know. And finally she just breaks the light and it's completely dark. Now he's blind too. So finally... She gets him and he's dead. Oh yeah, then wait, now you said then. And she hears the refrigerator sound coming on the refrigerator. Then she realizes there's a light in the refrigerator and she forgot to put that one out. You know, so he puts a cloth in the door so she can't close it. And she's going around and completes a really heavy movie. You know, so finally she kills him. Okay, and she's wounded in the leg. She has a knife cut in the wound. She's kind of dragging herself to try to get to the door to scream for help. And he's dead. And everybody in the theater is relieved. And just at that moment, he jumps up and grabs her like that, you know. So I saw it one time. I knew what was happening. The second time, I was watching everybody in the theater like that. And when this happened, everybody in the theater went up about like this much. Like that. Everybody was with this girl, and she grabbed my arm and almost broke my wrist. It was like, you know. But it was just like everybody just went. When I first time I saw it too, it was like, it's like, you know, like that, you know. Yeah, like that, yeah. But like, what is it? What's actually happening? What's actually happening? Yeah, it's just light and sound being reflected off like that, you know. And so I stopped watching the movie. Was watching everybody else. So I had just no reaction, you know, like that. Yeah, yeah. So that's what's happening. It's all just a movie, you know. If you take a scalpel. You can buy these things, number 8 scalpel or something, and go right down like this, press hard, yeah. And then, what do you got? Yeah. Okay, you got the heart, okay. You got the intestines, you know. First you got the stomach, duodenum, small intestines, okay. Large intestines, rectum, okay. And attached to that is the bile glands, somewhere here, the liver's attached, it goes off, the kidneys, okay. Nothing there. You know, you take a saw like that. Take this off. You know, the brain is kind of like Jello. It's like Jello. It's not solid. It kind of slumps down when it's there like that, you know. Peel the arms off. You know? Yeah. Crack the bones open. We're looking for the soul. Like that. Yeah. Okay, it's all finished, you know. Right? Nothing left, you know. But so, yeah, the mind is connected to the prana. You can't see it. You can't see the flame from a candle, but you can feel it. You can't see the air, but you can feel it. So above vision is touch, above touch is sound, and above that is the mind. It's all continuous, you know, like that. So yoga, religion means to go like that, you know. So yeah, it's all, we go through this, it's all just a show, like that. We've had thousands of bodies, right? We've been in thousands of movies. Tonight, the me show, the you show. Oh, yeah. Next one now. Who am I now? Now you are a pig. Oh, pig. I've always wanted to be a pig. Eat anything, sleep anywhere, like that. Oh, yes. Yeah, like that. And now you are a wolf. Like that. 100 times more sensitive nose, minimum. 100 times more sensitive smell, like that. One guy dreamed had a dream. He was maybe doing this. He was an eagle. And he said he could not believe the visual acuity. Yeah, he was looking down like that. He could see, like, you know, he could look, see people's eyeballs, the insides of their eyeballs. It was just like the visual acuity was beyond belief, you know, like that. Yeah? So we get it. We identify with it. Yeah? But it's all just a play, a game, psychodrama, you know, like that, to get out of the whole thing. Yeah. So this is kind of a summary. Upadeshamrita is vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam. Control the senses, right? Whole line. Then after that, that will allow you to begin to try and imitate these things. Raganuga bhakti. We discuss that maybe tomorrow night. And then after that, that will stimulate your real feelings in relationship, your eternal relationship to God. Because everybody's created for a different service. Nobody can compete with us because we're all indifferent. And we can't compete with anybody else ultimately. You have to find out what is your job in the choir, like that, you know, like that, and do it. So this is yoga. So Prabhupada ki, Hare Krishna mantra ki, back home, back to Godhead. Thank you all very much. Dada.